Welcome to the Bibbidi Bobbidi Bros Podcast, where two bros come on to talk about Disney, theme parks, and all things entertainment, because, well, they don't really have much else better to do. So take Brian Hall, his insane love of Disney, and his ability to do Disney impressions, and mix it up with his best friend Paul, who also loves Disney entertainment. Mix them together, and what have you got? The Bibbidi Bobbidi Bros Podcast. Here's your host, Brian Hull and Paul.
Hello, everyone out there, and welcome back to the Bibbidi Bobbidi Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Hull, and I'm joined by my best friend and co-host,
Paul. Hello, humans.
Yes, welcome back. It's so great to talk to you again. And for the people on the live stream, they can finally see the cane we keep talking about.
Oh my gosh,
it's hanging right here by me all the time.
I hate this cane. He hits me with it.
Only sometimes.
Ow.
Like that. I didn't hit you hard.
Anyways, we're ending this live stream right now. We're going to continue the podcast. We will see you guys later.
Bye. So yes, folks, we are back. How is everything going with you?
Oh. Things are well, friend.
Well,
things
good.
Are well. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Can't complain. Yeah. By the time you're hearing this, I am probably traveling all the way over the country right now. Because this week I'm gone, so we're pre-recording this one.
Yes. We're going to try to do two at a time because I don't want to be behind anymore.
Yeah, I'm tired of being behind too. It's especially smart. Because it's like, if we double up enough movies, we can still finish off all the animated films by the end of the year.
So we're going to try.
We're going to try for this. Yeah.
Really quickly, though.
Yeah.
I wanted to give a shout out to somebody.
Okay, who we shout out?
I thought it was really cool. I'm not sure if he listens to our podcast. I'm pretty sure he does, but I'm going to open my email up really quick because I got an email forwarded to me by our assistant, or I'm sorry, not my assistant, but Brian's assistant, who is amazing. Anyway, I'm going to give, what's his name? Oh, I'm going to say his name is Mike. I think that's his name. Anyway, first of all, I want to give Mike a shout out for two reasons. One, he was amazing. He served in the armed forces, and thank you so much for your service, Mike, for defending our country and defending our freedoms. I think that is amazing. So round of applause for Mike. Thank you so much for that. The other one is, I just want to give him
I thought that was one leftover clap.
Oh, sorry. It sounded like that, huh? I'm not going to release too much information because obviously it's a private conversation. I don't want to do that. But I do want to give him a shout out and just say thank you for your service and thank you for being you.
He left a very sweet message to us.
It was an amazing message. I think what you're doing is phenomenal. Keep up the amazing work that you're doing. Keep heading down that path you're heading down. You're doing great. And I commend you so very much, and God bless you. So that's what we wanted to say.
Absolutely. I second that 100%.
Yay! Okay, let's move on.
All right.
So what are we doing today?
We're going to do something not Disney this time.
What?
I know. Last week we're talking HBO Max, and now not Disney movies.
Brian, I don't like this. Well, we'll do Disney movies at the end of it.
Okay, good.
So we're going to go through our top five least favorite non-Disney animated films. There's so many addendums to this.
Oh, I have them all. Let's go.
Oh, you do? Already?
Yes.
I got a couple that I got to ponder a little bit, but I think I've got number five wrapped up. Okay, you go first since you're more ready than I am.
So my... Oh, lordy. This is going to cause so many problems.
Oh, I've got a bunch that people are going to get mad at.
Okay,
but
you go first. You go first.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I put this one at number five just because it's not that I hate it. It's just I don't get it to the degree that everyone else does. Everyone treats this like it's this holy grail animated masterpiece, but I don't get it.
What is it?
Iron Giant.
You stole mine.
Was that really one of yours?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Oh, now I have to think of another
one. No, you can have one too. We can have
I'm
the same one.
I'm not good at this either because like, I don't remember a lot of
it's
anime
okay.
films outside of Disney. I do not like the Iron Giant. You tell me why.
It's, everyone's going to say, but it's Brad Bird. I get you. Brad Bird did an amazing job on The Incredibles and Ratatouille. But I'll admit, neither one of those are my favorite Pixar films either. It's like, I enjoy Brad Bird's work, but I don't love it as much as everybody else does, but even Iron Giant, I don't like as much as Ratatouille or Incredibles either. The whole time I just felt like, yeah, this is good, but I don't feel like it's really doing anything different than like E.T. had already done or something else. I mean, yeah, it's, I guess it's original enough in its own right, but I don't know. It just didn't do enough for me. I kind of just, it's not that it was bad. I just couldn't get into it the way everyone else did. So I put it on that way for that everyone treats it like it's the most amazing film ever. And I don't really have any good reasons for why I just don't like it as much as everyone else. But I don't know. I guess I just couldn't get into the characters as much because I couldn't relate to them as well. Yeah. That's not how I was as a kid. And I couldn't say, yeah, that's how real kids are. I'm like, no. I was Andy on Toy Story. I was that kid. I was that kid who was like super nice to all of his toys. And everyone else is like, no kid was Andy. Every kid was Sid. I'm like, no, I was Andy.
Not every kid was Sid.
Oh my gosh. I've had so many people say that. And I'm like, no, I was an Andy.
Well, then you were raised in a very tragic neighborhood. And I'm sorry for you.
And I'm like, I obeyed my mom. I was definitely an Andy. So
I was like half Andy.
So like most of the time, like Hogarth kind of just made me mad sometimes. Not all the time. Sometimes I'm like, okay, you're just a kid. But other times I'm like, dude, kid, you know what you're supposed to do. Shut up and pay attention.
Right.
You're getting yourself in trouble. Stop.
So but, I have to say, besides Iron Giant.
Iron Giant was your five?
That's number five. Number four. No, actually, this is number one. Number four for me is, I don't know if it's really animated. It's Claymation, I guess.
That's animation.
Yeah. James and the Giant Peach.
Okay.
I think it was good. That's why it's number four. You know, it's not the worst. But it's not the best.
I'm not going to lie.
It bored the crap out of me.
I haven't watched it in so long, I don't even know where I would put it on a scale. I don't remember anything other than a few visuals. So I'd have to watch it again. But
James and the Giant Peach bored me. Great animation. Don't get me wrong. It takes a lot of work to do that stuff. But, okay.
Yeah.
You could have worked on the story. What's yours?
Okay, next one. Oh, this is going to make so many people mad. So many people mad. Oh, I'm so sorry, everybody, but I got to say it. Secret of NIMH.
Oh, that was a stupid movie.
Oh, no.
No, I didn't like it either.
No, it's like for the Don Bluthians, this is like the best animated film like he's ever made, apparently, but I'm sorry, y'all. I just can't. I have tried and just can't get into it.
Oh, I don't blame you.
I can't. And the first thing everyone tells me is, you don't like this animation? The animation is beautiful. It's amazing. Probably some of Don Bluth's best animation. That's not my problem with it. And it's not the voice acting. It's not anything other than the story. That is the biggest problem.
That seems to be the problem with a lot of non-Disney animation, is the story is horrible.
And I'm not even going to like fault Don Bluth on this one because it's based on a book, and I think he went, pretty by the book. But the thing that bugs me so much about it is that these rules are so inconsistent with this film, and it sucks me out. It sucks me out every time I watch it because these rules do not, they're so incoherent. They do not follow anything. And it just really bugs me. Like for one thing, the whole premise of the movie is we've got to move Timmy, but we can't move Timmy because Timmy's sick. Like, we got to move him away from the farmer. Okay, so we got to move the whole house because apparently we can't move Timmy. I still don't understand that. He'll catch a chill. Put an extra blanket on him. He won't catch a chill. That's what I say because by the time we actually do move the house, how far does it move? A foot. And he's safe. You couldn't have picked him up, moved him a foot, let the plow go by, and then you go back home? Everything would have been solved. I solved Secret of NIMH. Right there. And then, oh my gosh, that was one. But then another one that really, really dug under my skin. It's the fact that the rats of NIMH are super smart. But during the flashback, you made it look like they were like normal rats in our world where they have no speech intelligence, no clothing, no bipedalness, no nothing. They're just rats. But yet, every mole, every rat, every mouse, every other kind of animal that we see in this entire thing that was not from Nim, mind you, all have clothes, speak very intelligently, and are bipedal. So maybe the rats of Nim are slightly more intelligent. So it's basically like saying you got the people who graduated high school versus the people who went to college, I guess. Like, that's their big intelligent boost. I'm sorry. I don't see it. And then where the magic. Why do they have magic? That did not come from Nim. Because if all of the rats and mice were injected with the same serum, they should all have magic. But only Nicodemus does. And they have this magical red amulet that somehow moves everything that they never explain. But, ooh, frilly magic. Where did it come from? It's lazy when you don't tell us where it came from. It's like, no, it's not lazy. It's whimsy.
It's whimsy.
It's lazy. I'm sorry.
Well, is your rant on Secret of Nim.
And Jeremy is the worst sidekick ever because every time he shows up, he literally makes things worse. He never helps ever. The end.
The end. I like it.
And the only time he helps is whenever he gets the medicine back.
End. You said the end.
It's the only time he helps is when he gets the medicine back that he lost in the first place. And if he never showed up, he never would have lost it. The end.
All right. My number three is Ferngully.
Okay, I actually don't have Ferngully in my bottom five. Why do you don't like it that much?
I'm not a huge fan of it. I just don't like the story. It's always the story. The story bored me. It didn't keep my attention at all.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
By the way, I'm not going to remember any of this. What's your...
Okay, my next one is... I'm grouping a bunch of films together, but they all will count in this. And that is the Despicable Me sequels. Not the first one.
I actually kind of like them.
I don't like... I know this one's kind of controversial, too. I do not like the sequels.
Really?
I don't.
I don't mind them.
I mean, they're not horrendous, but, like, the first movie, I'm like, okay, this was cute. The second one, I'm like, okay, is it just me, or do I see no chemistry between Gru and Lucy? I saw none.
Oh, I totally did. I thought it was cute.
I didn't see any. It's like, I just didn't care for Lucy as a character. Like, she wasn't... She was trying to be funny, but it was really just that mild awkwardness that everybody thinks is funny. But I'm like, that's not funny. I'm sorry, I don't see it. The girls were hysterical in the first movie.
The minions were fun.
And they do nothing. The girls do nothing except Margot has like this boyfriend, and then he dumps her, and then she's sad, and boom, we've seen this a million times. Nothing's done differently here. Whoop de tap dance and dingle doo.
And tap dancing dingle do tap dancing dingle do everybody.
Yeah. I was just like, nothing was original here. Don't really care. Minions movie was the Minions movie. Do I even really need to explain that one? And then Despicable Me 3, I was just like, so you're jumping the shark, even though you literally jumped the shark in the second one when you literally shot a shark at a volcano. And then the third one is just, okay, Gru's got a twin brother now.
Ooh.
Wow, this is like soap opera levels of dumb.
You're going to hate my number two.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You might not be my friend anymore. My number two is Rio.
I enjoyed Rio, but I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. It bores me. I'm like, nothing Disney captivates me. I don't know why.
I mean, I enjoyed Rio. The sequel was dumb, but I enjoyed the first Rio at least. And, was fun. You know, I wouldn't say it was amazing, but I'm like, the music was fun. The atmosphere was fun. I at least could see some romance between Blue and Jewel, and a lot of characters were forced in there, but that was fine. So, no, you're not going to lose friendship over that one.
Fine. What's yours?
My number two now is, Land Before Time.
Oh, I forgot about that bad series.
It was not Land Before Time 1.
No, not the one. Not one. One was great.
One was fantastic. And I'm even giving every sequel a pass except for one. I forget the exact title of this thing, but it was like The Journey of Friendship, Friendship something.
It's The Journey of Friendship.
Journey of Friendship. Oh my gosh, this thing scarred me. This movie scarred me. So I don't know if y'all saw this, but a while back, I was dumb and I wasn't thinking, And I was on Amazon and I found this pack of every single Land Before Time movie in one DVD pack.
You were dumb.
All of them. And I didn't think. I was just like, hey, all the Land Before Time movies. You know, I'm curious to see them all. Let's just buy it. And then I got as soon as I hit the buy button, I thought, wait, how many movies are actually in here?
Oh, there's so 14. Many.
Yep. 14.
And they were all sucked except for one. Except for the first one.
The first one is the best. The first one is the best. I will
the
even
second one.
I will fight for a couple of the sequels. There's a couple of the sequels that are actually pretty good. Most of them are meh, but there's one that was just so horrendously bad.
Oh. The Secret of Friendship or something like that.
The Journey of Friendship, yeah. I think is what it is. It's something with friendship in it. It's the only one that has friendship in the title.
It was the worst.
It was horrendous. Ever. It was so bad. Have you seen it?
Yes.
All I have to say, if anyone has seen this, you know what I mean when I say yellow bellies. Yellow bellies.
So there's Why don't these, I remember that?
So there's these yellow bellies, right? The whole premise of the film lies on these yellow bellies. They're these the most idiotic dinosaurs you've ever met in your life. And these children dinosaurs are trying to teach them, like, everything. And these are adult yellow bellies, by the way. They're adults. And the whole time, it's like, what is this? What is that? What is this? What is that? You think it's annoying when a kid does it? Oh, no. One of them's Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, Lord, no.
Oh, and it's bad. It's bad. Like, it's not even, like, the cute, endearing, what does that do? What does that do? This is, like, the nails grating on the chalkboard of your brain. Like, what? How are you still alive?
How do you get your pants
How
on
do you... No, you don't have pants. That's how. How are you still alive in this world of sharp teeth everywhere? And this is the part that really got me. Just when I thought I couldn't take any more yellow bellies, they get delivered to the spot where they're going to go. And I'm like, okay, maybe we can finally be rid of the yellow bellies and we can get on with the story. But they get where they're trying to go. And you know what happens? There's more of them. There's more of them. I don't mean one or two more. I mean there's a whole dadgum herd of yellow bellies who, believe it or not, are dumber than the ones we've been with. And there's like 50 of them.
Well, we know that is your second least favorite franchise.
Wow. Not my least favorite franchise. It's the least second least favorite movie.
All right, I'm to my number one, and okay. And we saw this movie together.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, and it was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh, it's not what I think it is it? It was not that bad.
What?
Is it Ferdinand?
No.
Because Ferdinand wasn't that bad.
It's there. But that's not my top one. That's not my number one.
Okay.
Are you ready?
What is it?
The Emoji Movie.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. For some reason, Emoji Movie didn't make it in my top five for some reason.
Why? It was the worst animated movie ever.
It was bad, but...
Oh my gosh.
Like, it was bad.
Short in front of it was better than the... I mean, it's just that bad.
I mean... It was bad, but to me, it didn't rise above just regular, mediocre, bad animated movie. To me, it was just normal bad. For some reason, these stick out more. I think it's just because I'm mad I can't like them, even though everyone else does. No, so I think this is more like the five animated movies that I hate that everyone else loves. I think that should have been the list that I put.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. No. What's your number one?
This movie has plagued me since the day it came out.
Wow. It's not Chicken Little.
No, no. It's actually not. Because remember, this is non-Disney.
Yeah.
It's Happy Feet.
You don't like Happy Feet?
I despise Happy Feet.
I thought you liked Happy Feet.
No. Believe it or not.
Happy never got you any Happy Feet gifts.
No, I hate Happy Feet. I don't know what it is, but ever since Happy Feet came out, I cannot stand this movie. I was actually excited for it when it first came out. And I was like, oh, this movie looks really cool. I like it. All right. The animation is very, very realistic, which I like. That's really cool. All right. And Robin Williams is in it. I love him. And after watching the movie, I'm like, the only reason I didn't walk out is because of Robin Williams.
Yep.
And the animation was beautiful. I'll give it that. But I think what bugged me so much was, I don't know. I just felt like it was not the movie I wanted or expected when I walked into the theater, and I don't mean that in a good way.
Oh.
Like, I walked in the movie going like, okay, I want to see a fun movie with penguins and, like, this kid just learning to find acceptance and all this stuff, and done so with all this pop music. Fine, I'm not the biggest fan of pop music, but whatever. Let's have some fun with this. I'm going to give it a shot. But then all of a sudden it turns into, like, this whole, like, oh, the fish are gone because you did this. How are fish going to disappear because he's dancing? That doesn't really make any sense. They're like, why? What? Where did this all come from?
The vibration scared them away.
And it's like there's two parts to this movie. The first part of the movie I actually like, and I was really getting into it. And then once the whole, like, the fish came in, and then he goes on this weird journey and all this stuff, I'm like, that just felt so forced and shoehorned in, where it's like, oh, yeah, you want to watch this happy little movie? You want to watch this happy movie? Now watch penguins die! Watch them burn! And watch them go without food! Watch them starve! Like, holy crud! You want to get an environmental message out? I get it, but... Dang! Yeah.
No, that's about right for environmentalists.
Oh my gosh!
Very extreme people. Ooh. Very nice. Very extreme.
Which is interesting because as much as I dislike the first one, how much I hate it, I actually love the sequel.
Oh, I didn't. Happy Feet 2.
Which is weird because everyone who loved the first one hated the sequel, but I hated the first one and loved the sequel because the sequel was what I wanted in the first place.
There you go.
So I'm like, oh, the second movie, minus the krill. They were kind of dumb. But everything else, I'm like, I actually like this one. Why couldn't the first movie be this one? Oh, because everyone else hated that one but loved the first one. Okay, I'm in the minority here, whatever. I'm going to watch Happy Feet 2 and enjoy. And also because Mumble's son sings opera, and it's awesome, and I love it.
Well, that was our top five least favorite Disney or non-Disney movies.
How many people hate us now?
How many people are going to stop listening to our podcast?
All Let the us Happy know Feet our... fans are going to... All the Don Bluth right? fans and Happy Feet fans
Let
are going to
Let us
so
know
mad.
On our social media. All right. So today, for movie, we are talking about... Oh, no. Sorry. We can't talk about that yet.
Why not?
I thought you had to do the Disney Fact of the Week first.
Oh, right.
Disney Fact of the... Oh, sorry. That's your first... That's your thing. Sorry. Disney... He's like... Trying to do it, and it's funny.
I swear, it's like I'm living a Looney Tunes cartoon right now. Disney Fact of the Week with Brian and Paul.
That's me. I'm Paul.
So I know you're very excited about
Oh, goodness.
We're doing two very, very cool movies. One of your all-time favorites. Princess and the Frog.
Ooh, girlfriend!
And Tangled.
Oh, both my favorites. I love Tangled.
They're both great.
Princess
films.
And the Frogo is my just phenomenal. Oh, Brian, man. Do the fact.
So the Disney Fact of the Week is, did you realize that the reason why Princess and the Frog was set in New Orleans was because that was Walt Disney's favorite city when he was alive?
I did not know that.
Well, not... but. Everyone says Marceline, Missouri was his favorite because that's where he grew up. But that was his favorite hometown. But he also said that his favorite place to go visit was New Orleans, which is also why in Disneyland we have New Orleans Square.
That I knew. I didn't know that. Okay, well, there you go. That makes sense then.
So they specifically said, okay, when they were making Princess and the Frog, they said, we want to make an American fairy tale. Well, we want to put it in Walt's favorite city, which is New Orleans, which makes sense. You're near the swamps of the bayou. There's a lot of frogs there. This makes a lot of sense. Let's do Princess and the Frog in New Orleans, in the bayou. That makes sense.
Heck yeah.
So, yeah, that all came about because that was Walt's favorite city.
I love Princess and the Frog. Let's talk about Princess and the Frog.
Okay, well, that's the next one chronologically, so let's do it to it. I'm going to let you go. Have fun.
Okay. First of all, it starred the first black princess. Love mm-hmm. it. Second, we are talking about the most beautiful princess, I think, in the canon of princesses.
She's pretty darn beautiful.
She is gorgeous, number two. Number three, she is smart as a whip. And girl is rocking it. She's just like, let me tell you right now. I don't need no man to get what I want. and she worked and got no man to do what she... In the end, she did. But it doesn't matter. Point is...
But she didn't get a man because she had to. She got a man because she wanted to.
Because she wanted him, not because she needed him. Very different. Because
even then, you see, when she did get her restaurant, she paid with it for her own money.
Yes.
You didn't see any from Naveen. Of course, Lewis did help a little bit, which just to awesome. Kind of help persuade the fine brother.
That the Finner was brothers. Awesome. The Finner brothers. Number four, and Brian knows this about me, my favorite culture under the stars, besides Italian, because I am, is Southern. Did you not know that?
No, because you mess with Southern so much. I'm so happy to hear that.
My favorite culture under the stars is Southern. If I could
Why
live...
Why haven't you come to Texas with me yet?
I know, I'm going.
That's right, you are.
I love their culture.
I'm going to take you to some good Texas barbecue.
Amen, brother.
We're going to go have so much fun. It's going to be great.
Amen, I'm excited. But I love the culture, and I love the Cajun culture. I love New Orleans.
I love New Orleans.
I love all that. That is phenomenal. But I love the story. It just is amazing. Mama Odie, I wanted to sit next to her and be your best friend.
Not bad for a 197-year-old blind lady. Now, which one you naughty children be messing with the shadow man?
I love that. Lewis. I love Lewis.
I remember watching the trailer for Princess and the Frog just going, I know I haven't even seen this yet, and he doesn't really have any lines, but that alligator, he's going to be my favorite character from this movie.
I loved Lewis, but my all-time favorite princess is Princess Tiana. I absolutely adore her. She's so, so good. Her character develops. I think it's great. I love how her character develops, and I love how strong and heroic and awesome she is. That is why I like... Oh, wait. And the songs.
Randy Newman did a great job.
Gosh. Down in New Orleans, everything. Dr. Facilier's song. Oh.
I got friends on the other side.
I love...
See, you don't need a Spotify playlist. You just need to tell me the songs first.
Exactly. So I'm telling you right now, my absolutely favorite... I just love that movie. Brian, why do you like it?
I love it just because it felt like a coming home after all of this crazy ride we were on.
That's right.
Throughout all of this.
Yeah, it was the first hand-animated, right?
It was the first hand-drawn animated film we've had since Home on the Range. And unfortunately, that was supposed to stick around, but there are some reasons why it didn't stick around. But that's another story for another day. But, it was a homecoming for that. And not only for that, but it was also John Musker and Ron Clements coming back at the helm of a princess film, which they haven't done in so long. Because, yeah, they did some other films. They did Treasure Planet and they did Hercules. But to go back to a princess film, to go back to, like, it, I literally felt some of the same stuff I felt watching this as I did when I watched Little Mermaid.
Okay, yeah.
I did. Like, I still like Little Mermaid more, but I'm sitting there going, I feel similar vibes here. I feel like I'm watching a film in, like, the caliber of Little Mermaid, and I'm just like, I felt like Disney was back. I felt like I was seeing the beginning of a new renaissance, like what Little Mermaid did.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, I was right in the fact that all the films after this just really came in and just went bam!
Mm-hmm.
And started a new... what everyone calls a second renaissance, which I think is a really bad name. So as you've seen, as we've gone through all these films, there's been multiple quote unquote renaissances. And I really want to call this the platinum era, but no one would let me call this the platinum era.
No,
but whatever. So to me, it just signifies a great turnaround, going in the right direction, going back to the roots, but also doing something new at the same time, where you get that classic familiarity, but still doing something new at the same time. I guess it wasn't enough new because the film still suffered at the box office. Not to say that it was a flop, but it was only a modest success, and that wasn't exactly what they wanted. And we'll see with the next film, it totally shattered box numbers, and everyone would say, well, because it's CG.
That's not the reason.
We'll get there. It's a long story.
not the reason.
There's not conspiracy theories, but there's some definite thoughts that the executives and stuff were just trying to make this film fail. But that's long story. Anyway, we could talk about our experience at Tiana's actual restaurant.
Oh, that was so much fun.
So we'll take a quick detour on this to tell you guys, because it is Princess and the Frog related. So while we were on our Disney cruise, they actually have Tiana's place, the restaurant. So you can actually go there.
Yep.
And the menus look exactly like they do in the movie. And yep. It's so cool. They have that, what was the name of the band that came up and played? It was like the Cajun.
Something on the Crawfish. Yeah,
Crooning Crawfish.
Yeah, the Crooning Crawfish.
The Crooning Crawfish. I'm like, yes. And they had the man catching beignets.
Yes, but they didn't call him that.
They didn't call him that.
Which irritates me.
Tiana's buttermilk.
They should have called him man catching beignets.
But oh my gosh, were they good? Delicious.
I didn't come have them.
Yeah, he can't have them because they're all in gluten. But oh my gosh, it was.
Man catching?
Oh. Because you guys know beignets are basically donuts in, like, square form.
Yeah.
They're a little different, but, oh my gosh, I never thought I'd find, like, a donut-type thing that would ever beat Krispy Kreme, but if anything beat it, it would be Tiana's Man Kitchen beignets.
Were they good? So good. Did they come with raspberry sauce
or vanilla sauce? I think it was vanilla. I don't know. I didn't need any sauce. I'm like, you don't need anything on this. You need the powdered sugar, and that's it.
Oh, man, catching beignets.
They were so good.
I love. So they had the band. Then they had Princess Tiana come out,
and she would sing a little bit. And this was the kicker. Louis.
Yep.
Louis came out, and he was like dancing and hanging out with everybody. And he even like popped up and played his trumpet for a little bit. I'm like, it's like the movie.
It was phenomenal.
So if y'all ever go on the Disney cruise and go on the Wonder.
Disney Wonder.
You gotta do Tiana's Place. It is fun. You will love it. Oh, it's good. And you better get those beignets. Unless you got an allergy like Paul does. You get those beignets.
And you eat them, girl.
You eat them. You enjoy them. And if you can, go back and get more.
Mm-hmm. They are so good.
Ooh. And this is coming from somebody who has been to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And I have gone to Café du Monde, where they basically invented
beignets.
These, I swear, are just as good. Oh, damn good.
Oh.
It's so good.
So that is The Princess and the Frog, and it is amazing. And you know what? I love the villain. I love Dr. Facilier.
I don't know. No one character we haven't talked about yet.
Oh, that's right.
We got to talk about Red Firefly.
He's awesome.
Evangeline.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. She's my Evangeline.
Oh, my gosh. Ray quickly became one of my favorites, too. It's like Ray and Louis are like the reasons I keep putting that movie back in over and over and over again. Not that Tiana and Naveen and all them aren't great. They're all awesome, but... You know, I'm a sidekick guy, especially an animal sidekick guy. So they're both just like, and especially Eric Goldberg's animation on Louis is just great. I'm like, I love all his extreme poses. This is just, it's cartooniness at its best. And oh, it's just so good. Nobody does a cartoony, stretchy character like Eric Goldberg. It's just so much fun. He's got so much elasticity. Good job. So good. And then I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the name of the supervising animator right now for Ray, but he puts so much character into Ray. It's just so fantastic. And just,
he's so good.
And then also another little known thing, Anika Ani Rose, who did the voice of Tiana, specifically requested to Don Hahn, I think it was Don, no, not Don Hahn, I'm sorry, Mark Henn, who was the animator of Tiana. She asked, could Tiana be left-handed? Because she's left-handed.
Aww.
And she's never seen a princess or really any animated character who was left-handed.
That's awesome.
He was like, absolutely. We could totally make her left-handed. So if you look, she's left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
He really stuck true to that. And it was so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's my favorite scene in that movie, Brian? Do you know?
Your favorite scene in that movie? I want to say it's almost there. No. Really?
It's a good part, but it's a very little scene, very quick, but it's my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Hmm.
And it's with my second favorite character.
With Charlotte?
With Charlotte LaBeouf.
Mm-hmm. Is it the one where she's like, well, back into the prey? I do love that one part. No, but it's when the prince is coming and she's all sad. And then she's at the top of the stairs and she whistles, puts a little thing, puffs her face.
Oh, that's
and then the spotlight
right.
comes on her. And then the glitter, she throws the glitter in the air.
And then she like sprints yes. down the stairs.
I love that.
I
should
have remembered. I should have remembered. Every time we watch that together, you're always just like, yes, I love her. I love her.
She is amazing. And I like how she always interrupts Big Pop. What is it?
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. Tell him, Big Daddy. Tell him.
Well, Prince Naveen.
Prince Naveen, come now, don't you?
It's going to be.
And it's going to be.
He's going to be staying now. I'll stay as my personal guest.
Oh my God. Tell him, Big Daddy. Tell him.
And then he like stops and he's just like, are you going to interrupt me again? He's like,
go on.
Yeah, go on. Oh my gosh. And then she gives Tiana like a pile of money. Like, this is the like, best.
Give me some man kitchen beignets. Yeah. Here you go, Tiana.
It's like,
dead.
Oh my gosh.
This is amazing. I just love how, but like, that's the thing about Charlotte. She's a snob, but she doesn't know it. So she's super cute and humble. Like, she doesn't realize how rich she is.
It's like, I think we talked about her before. I'm like, she's an ignorant narcissist. The fact that it's like she's only narcissistic in the fact that she kind of thinks the whole world revolves around her, but at the same time, she's still so innocent in the fact she still cares about everybody and she still wants to help.
So she's just selfish. She's an ignorant, selfish kid.
Well, she's...
But
well,
she doesn't get it. She doesn't know she is.
I had a better term for it than selfishly ignorant. It was... Or narcissist ignorant. It was something. It was like... It was innocently self-centered.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one. She is super innocently self-centered.
She doesn't realize that she's doing it. She truly does care about everybody. She just doesn't realize that she's shoving everybody in a corner.
Oh my God, I love her. And the kitten scene.
Oh,
in the beginning.
Girl, stop tormenting that poor kitty.
And then what's the part in when they're walking out and you can see their shadows? And well, I'm not going to give you any more again. The hands are a puppy.
Oh, my gosh. She's like,
all right, Sugar Plum, you're getting that dress, and that is it. No more Mr. Pushover. Now, who wants a puppy? Who wants a puppy?
I just love that. They were amazing. The whole movie, John Goodman did so good for Big Daddy.
This is one of those films that I swear so many people haven't seen, and they're just like, for some reason, so many people are scared to watch it. And I'm like, why? It's a great movie. Go enjoy it.
Film.
Every time I find somebody who hasn't watched it, they're just like, oh, I just want to see it. I'm like, come watch it. Every time I show it to them, they're like, oh, no, it's actually really good. I'm like, yes.
It's the best. I love, love, love Princess and the Frog. Anyway, let's move on and talk about Rapunzel and Tangled.
This is the story about how I died.
Well, don't worry. It's actually a very fun story, and to be honest, it's not even about me. Sorry, I had to do a nice segue into...
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I will say this. I've stated before, multiple times on my channel and the podcast, that Ariel is my favorite princess.
You said? Yes.
I have said that. But what is quickly becoming apparent to me, Rapunzel is now my second favorite princess.
Oh, yeah. I love Rapunzel.
I think it's mainly for bias reasons.
Because Mandy... Oh, because you were in the show.
I technically played Rapunzel now.
You technically were the male Rapunzel, yes. There is that.
It's weird. It's like, because before I always liked Rapunzel, but ever since I got hired to do that episode of Tangled, where in the credits, I'm Teen Sideburns, but in the story, not to give too much away to people who haven't seen it, which, if you have not watched Tangled, this series, and you like Tangled the movie,
you need to watch it.
When it comes on Disney Plus, just binge it.
It's so good.
You can thank me later. People keep saying, we want a Tangled 2. This is Tangled 2 on steroids, y'all. Yeah.
No, it's good.
The art style is different, sure, but this storytelling is spot on.
I love
on.
The art.
All the art. I mean, it's just jarring to somebody who's expecting CG.
I love it.
But you get used to it really quickly. It's very beautiful. It's the stylization you really get into. This, y'all, just watch. It's great. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in it. I was a fan before I was in it.
Yeah.
But in the show, I don't want to give too much away here, but
a series of circumstances happen to where Rapunzel and Pascal look and sound like the Stabbington brothers as teenagers. So I was cast as teenage Stabbington, who is technically Rapunzel for half the time.
Yes.
So I don't have a whole lot of lines as Rapunzel, but I've got a couple. And I don't know why, but ever since I did that, I kind of got into her brain. Fun little thing, Mandy Moore actually had to record those lines for me. So she recorded them for me, and then I had to listen to her delivery and say her lines the way she would have, but with teen sideburns inflections.
Mm-hmm.
So I have her in my ears as I'm watching the cartoon and I'm saying Ron Perlman as a teenager. So I have like eight things going on in my brain at once when I'm recording this.
So Ron Perlman plays them right now?
Well, he's played them in the movie and the TV show. He plays them all the time.
Why didn't he play them as a teenager? I'm just curious.
The reason why is because they wanted somebody who legitimately sounded younger.
Oh.
So, and they were like, well, you could, they told me the story a little bit. They asked Ron Perlman and said, hey, you want to try to pitch your voice up? He's like, no, that's not really where my strong suit is. We might want to just find somebody else to do that for this episode, and I'll come back when they're adults.
And they found you!
And they found me, because apparently my normal, I basically just did a Ron Perlman impression, and my voice is just so high, it just sounds like him as a teenager.
Yeah, I love it.
So I was like, hello, Ryder. We're going to have a little ride.
Oh, my God.
Give
us
a satchel first.
Do that one.
Oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh!
That's my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, I only had a few lines as Rapunzel, but after that, I started watching the show in a different way. I watched the movie in a different way, but it was weird. It was only a couple lines, but I started getting into her head more, and I'm like, I'm getting her more. She's more awesome than she was before. Oh, my gosh. I'm really loving Rapunzel. It might be for totally biased reasons, but right now I don't care. She's awesome.
No, I love Rapunzel.
Yeah,
she's great. I love Tangled for a couple reasons. One, it has a lot of Christian undertones.
Yeah, it does.
I did not know that. One of the head animators went to the old church I went to, not the church I go to now.
Are you talking about Glenn Keane?
No, it might have been him. I don't know. But
well, Glenn Keane is already a pretty strong Christian. He's mentioned that when he worked on The Beast.
You know what? It probably was Glenn Keane that came to our church. He happened to go to the one I went to in
might have been
where we used to live. And he did a drawing. He was like doing a couple things and he was saying, he goes, this has a lot of Christian undertones that I purposely put in here. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So that was really cool. And the other one is the songs. I love the songs.
Well, it's Alan Menken.
Of course you love the songs. Alan Menken.
Even when he does a bad movie, there's still at least, it's one of the only redeeming factors of Home on the Range, one song.
And then the third thing, I just love, you know what, I'm sorry, and I know this sounds weird, but my favorite character, yes, I love Rapunzel. She's adorable. Pascal's great. But what I really, really do think is cool is how unapologetic Mother Gothel is. She's evil, and she doesn't care.
It's kind of interesting, though, because I will say this. She is the most manipulative of all the Disney villains. To the point where I'm even sitting here going as an outsider, I'm like, I know you're the bad guy, but do you really love her? Because I think you kind of do.
And that's the thing. That's how evil.
Wow. Yeah. You're good.
Yeah. She's that evil, and she doesn't care because all she wants is that power. So yeah, that's evil to me. And she's just unapologetic about it. Like, yeah, and?
Because, I mean, I think to the other ones who are manipulative, but, like, you look at, like, Ursula.
No, not as bad.
And no, she's not as bad. She just looks like she's maniacal and just Ariel's kind of an idiot for not realizing that, hey, she's
exactly
evil. And like,
all Ursula's doing is playing on a teenager. Like, come on. Right. Like, that's just mean.
Yeah, and then, like, in Lion King, Simba's just kind of being, trying to think of the right word, just kind of being totally oblivious because he's sitting there talking with Scar, and Scar's literally just glaring at him the whole time.
But he's a kid, so he doesn't know. I'm gonna ruin it all!
Yes, well, forgive me for leaping for joy, Bad.
And he's just like so out. He's just so glaring out in the side. Just like, Simba, can you not pick up on this? The dude's evil.
No, he's a kid. He doesn't have a clue.
But Mother Gothel, I'm sitting there going, do you really love her? I mean, I obviously
you have to think about it. Do you?
Yeah, like, and I'm like,
she's that manipulative.
She is good. She is flat good. I'm like, I'm even sitting there going, man, if I was in Rapunzel's shoes, I might think she loved me too. I mean, I'd probably still be there. Dang, she is good. She is really good. Even whenever you hear her say, like, I love you, Rapunzel. I love you more. I love you most.
That was good.
And I'm like, oh, you're good. You're good. I don't know why, but I feel like this whole podcast I've been saying Rapunzel instead of Rapunzel.
Rapunzel?
I don't know why. I've never
said Rapunzel. Let's
I've
do
never
this.
Said Rapunzel before until this podcast, but now I feel like I keep saying Rapunzel instead of Rapunzel.
Rapunzel. Rapunzel.
Rapunzel.
Rapunzel. But yes, it's just a good movie. Tangled is a good movie all so around.
Good. So good.
This is when I think Disney's was just like, okay, we're back in action.
It was, I think they hit that at Princess and the Frog where they had like the first like great film. And then Tangled was just building from that. And then most of the films from there on out either built or were at least in the same ballpark as the
other ones.
What's
after this one?
After this is the 2011 Winnie the Pooh and Wreck-It Ralph.
I'm excited for Wreck-It Ralph.
Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to talk about the 2011 Winnie the Pooh that no one ever talks about. I know. Because Disney doomed it from the start and said, hey, let's open you the same day as the last Harry Potter.
That was a stupid move.
Oh, it was so dumb. Stupid anyway. Move. But yeah, just... I keep wanting to call this movie Rapunzel. I don't ever want to call it Tangled. I always want to call it Rapunzel.
Rapunzel.
See, you just said it too.
Rapunzel.
Anyway. And we didn't even talk about Flynn. Well, Eugene.
Eugene Fitzpatrick. What is it? Fitzherbert.
You say Fitzpervert?
Eugene Fitzpervert.
Oh, no.
Fitzherbert. No.
Fitzherbert.
Yeah, Fitzherbert. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. I still think he's one of the best princes that we ever got.
I love him. He's hilarious.
I just love how down-to-earth this guy is. He's just, like, really chill and just laid back. But at the same time, unlike Kristoff, I feel like Kristoff is just kind of there to play an idiot half the time. But, like, Eugene actually has, like, a lot to contribute.
Yeah. No, he does. And what I really like about it is that he just... Rapunzel and Eugene Flynn have a true relationship.
Oh my gosh, their chemistry is so cute. Strong,
and it's
too.
So cute.
It's so cute.
Even in Tangled Ever After.
And the series.
Yeah, the series. You can see it.
Oh, the series, it's even better.
It's the cutest.
And I swear... Once you get through the series, it is so hard to look at that man and call him anything but Eugene.
No, he's Eugene.
Because in the show, it's always Eugene. And then someone calls him Flynn and you're like, oh, that's so weird. Yeah. He's Eugene. Stop it.
It's Eugene Fitzherbert.
Oh, man. And you actually start preferring that over Flynn Rider. And even in the movie, you're like, Eugene Fitzherbert? That's such a dumb name. Oh, I'm always going to call you Flynn. But then after you watch it so long in the series and stuff, you're like, why would I call you anything but Eugene?
It's Eugene Fitzpervert.
Stop it!
Oh my gosh. Hashtag Fitzpervert.
This is a family friendly podcast. Stop that. Stop it.
You called it out.
You're the one who accidentally said it.
I accidentally said it. You didn't have to call it out. Oh my gosh.
I just couldn't believe you said it.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, man.
Anyways, oh, that was funny. Fitzpervert, man.
Stop it. Stop it.
Anyway, I think that's our podcast because I'm just going to keep saying Fitzpervert.
Stop it. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to follow on all our social media. So we got Brian Hollis Voice and Bibbidi Bobbidi Bros and Disney Nerd 2319. Also, check me out on TikTok and everything like that. Hope you have a Bibbidi Bobbidi Booyah kind of day. And we're done. Okay, bye-bye.
Fitzpervert.
Stop it.